As we go to your word this morning, we ask for a special endowment of thy Holy Spirit. We pray, dear Father, that you would give us correct discernment and a willingness to follow all that you direct. And we ask by your presence, dear Heavenly Father, that you would direct Satan from our presence. In Christ's name, we pray and we thank you. Amen. What is in a name? On the front of the bulletin is who or whom. Well, we know what it is, the Statue of Liberty, but does this individual have a name? She is called Lady Liberty. And in that text that was just read, that if we who are his people will humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, he will do what? He will hear from heaven, but more than that, he will heal our what? Our land. This lady represents all of us. All of this great land, which is so wonderful and has been so wonderful, and which will become so terrible. So what is in a name? Right now, Lady Liberty is like Superman. Stands for what? Truth, justice, and what? The American way. It's wonderful to be an American, isn't it? But it is more wonderful to be a Christian, isn't it? Whatever nationality we are. A name can bring to a mind what a person thinks of another, especially as it relates to the reputation or the character of the other individual. Our perception may be correct, or it may be incorrect. But let's just think about a few names. What comes to your mind reputation-wise and character-wise when I mention Lucifer? Is that good? Let's not be too quick to rush. Lucifer was created how? Perfect. Thou wert perfect in all thy ways. So sometimes we forget the perfection of Lucifer, don't we? And we jump to the end of the story. But you know, a time will come when the former things shall be forgotten and never come to mind. That is speaking of your mind and my mind and the mind of the redeemed. But in the mind of the Lord and that ever-loving, eternal-loving God will always fondly remember Lucifer. And he will be saddened always by the name that he later assumed, and that being of whom? Satan, the dragon, the beast. You think of Lucifer, not Lucifer, but Satan's reputation in heaven. In heaven of all places, he was subversive, undermining, accusing, lying, deliberately misrepresenting the truth. A murderer. In the Garden of Eden, he continued doing that. He deceived with the idea of causing to fail, realizing that sin separates from God, and God is life, again carrying on with murder. When you think of the name Adam, the name of Eve, if we're not careful, we jump to the end of the story, don't we? What do we think of Adam? Do we think of Adam as a success story? Do you remember what Sister White has written as to what happens with Adam? In the chapter where the two Adams, what? The two Adams meet. And what is the attitude of the first Adam at that meeting? He falls prostrate in the presence of the second Adam, Jesus. So a name sometimes connotes a thought that if we're not careful, we become judgmental. And what about Eve? Do you think of Eve as being a conniving individual or a gullible individual? I don't really know what to think about Eve, but I know one thing for sure. I'm very proud that she came into existence. You know why? She gave me the possibility of accepting Christ. She's my grandmother. She's your grandmother. She's everybody's grandmother in here. The Lord gave us Eve. What do you think when the name Cain comes to mind? We don't have the final verdict in on Cain, do we? I would like to think that in the kingdom, that Abel will be walking along and somebody will come up and tap him on the shoulder. And it may be Cain. Enoch, you think about Enoch. What do you think about Enoch? Any negatives there? That's all we say, isn't it? Enoch walked with God. You reckon Enoch ever had a down day and did something wrong? You think Enoch didn't need a Savior? For all have done what? And come short of the glory of God. Moses, Noah, Abraham, David. I guess the one that really gets my goat the most is Solomon. What do you think about Solomon? What comes to your mind? Oh man, he is a wise man, right? Solomon wrote, "It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop, up on the roof, than to dwell in the house with a what? A brawling woman." But he just said a brawling woman. There were enough women there to have three different women at his supper table each day of the year. All different women. Is that wise? Is God wise? How many women were represented in the Garden of Eden? Is it wise for women to have more than one male? I think it's pretty dumb for them to have one, but they evidently feel different about that. Character and reputation. Jezebel. Any of you women have daughters in here? Hey. How many of you named them Jezebel? Huh? Well, I'll bet you give it a good reason for doing that, huh? Does Jezebel need a savior? Did she? Do you think that savior loved Jezebel? Do you think he was disappointed with her actions? Do you think he stopped loving her? No. Did not. Hopefully one of the days, somebody be tapped on the shoulder and she'll say, "My name's Jezebel." Was Jezebel. How about Judas? Does that bring a pretty rough thing to you, what's in the name? Our mind immediately goes to whom? Judas Iscariot, doesn't it? But did you know Jesus had a brother named Judas? So we can't jump. We got to, as my grandchildren would say, we got to top it. Just top it. Sodom, Herod, Pilate, Barabbas. The list goes on and on and on. But as we consider some names in this congregation that's represented right here, eventually we need to do that, don't we? Let's just take my name. Anybody here know my name? You may know August, or you may know Pelham, but did you know it's Lamar? August Lamar, that's me. You've known me a long time, but you didn't know that, did you? That's good news. So what comes to your mind when you think of my name? Sums. That's why I call myself Mr. Coco. All the time, whenever I talk to people, I let them know my name's Mr. Coco. What does that say when her name comes to my mind? That shows that I not only love her, but I'm in love with her. But something comes to your mind when somebody says August Pelham. Sometimes it's negative. Sometimes it's positive. And that negative may be true. And that positive may be true. Or they both may be false. But what comes to mind when Jesus hears the name August Pelham? And what comes to mind when Satan thinks of the mind of August? When my name comes into the mind of Jesus, he prays for me because he knows I need it. He says, "Father," but Father, what does he say? "My blood, my blood was shed for this poor creature." So if your thoughts when you hear the name of August Pelham are negative, Then follow the example of Jesus and do what? Pray for me. Lord, that poor fellow needs help. Please come into his heart and into my heart too. What's in a name? There's always something there that we haven't perceived. So let's give each other always the benefit of a doubt. What is that old saying? If it was not for the grace of God, what? There go I. It's easy. It's easy to condemn, but we need each other's prayers, don't we? Our Heavenly Father, when he thinks of August, he thinks of August as being holy, because August has accepted the merits of Christ's blood, which he shed on Calvary for August's salvation. And as a result, that blood is so thick that he sees no sin. August stands before him perfect. Will there ever come a time when August sees himself as being perfect? If he does, he's in bad trouble. But should there come a time when August accepts the fact that he is perfect in God's eyes because of the merits of Christ's blood and August's acceptance of that forgiveness? That is possible. And it can be said for each of you. Each of us. Just trust in the Lord, keep looking up, and all that is righteous will become interesting to us. We need to, now listen closely here, we need to stop. We need to quit trying to be good. Just stop it. And why is that? Do you remember there's a text in Jeremiah that tells us, and it's somewhere down in this sermon, but it tells us, it says, can a leopard lose its spots, or the Ethiopian change his skin? And then it goes on to say that if it were possible, then it would be possible for us to do good who are used to doing evil. So you're not going to ever be able to do good. Not to the point that you convince Christ that he can't leave you out because you're good. We'll only be in the kingdom because our Lord is good. Our Lord is good. We think of a name that gives hope. In Matthew 6:9, it calls the Father hallowed. In Exodus 3:14, the Lord is called I Am, the ever-present one. So the Lord will always be hallowed. In Psalms 111 and verse 9, he says, holy and reverend is whose name? His name. His name. And Isaiah 6:3 refers to him as holy and holy and holy. And you and I can still come to him. In Matthew 1:21, it talks about a name that is called Jesus. And they're calling him Jesus for what reason? For he shall do what? Save his people. So what's in a name, Jesus? A Savior is in that name. Do we need a Savior? Do we need a Savior? Isaiah 9:6 uses the name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the last time I read that, I finally realized that it's not just little girls that needs a prince to come riding in on a white horse to save her and take her away. I need a prince. I have a prince. And he rides a white horse. How about that? I say, praise the Lord. So in that name, Jesus, is found a prince. That's what's in that name. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. There's another name, Christ. And what is found in that Christ is our recreation. Our recreation. I'm glad that the Lord, when he recreates us to a final status, will no longer have these tugs of wanting to do things that are wrong. But you know, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, it says that Jesus was made to be sin. Not a sinner. He became sin, but not sinful. And why did he do that? He did that so that he could defeat sin. And you and I, once again, can be saved. So Jesus' willingness to be made sin for us and Calvary demonstrate what God thinks about us when he contemplates our name. Just think of Jesus thinking of your name, and you realize that his willingness to become sin to save you, Calvary to save you, elevates your importance. And again, the text, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if you want to avail yourself to this saving principle, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But we must turn away. We must want to be like him. In Psalm 66 and 18, says, if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not do what? He'll not hear us. The only prayer of a sinner that the Lord hears is, Lord, forgive me. If you're living a sinful life and you're asking the Lord to give you a red car, he's not going to hear that. But if you ask him to give you his red blood, oh, he'll give you that. Huh?
I said it binds on the just and the unjust.
It certainly does. That's because of his goodness, isn't it? When we think about the name of Jesus, it's possible to take his name in vain just by the things we desire. If we desire impurity and claim to be a Christian, then we've taken his name in vain. If we misrepresent him to others, we've taken his name in vain. He wants us to look at those things that are honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. Those are the things that are found in the name of Jesus. So what is in a name is important. Shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we know that a time is coming when your new name is going to be given to us. We're told in Scripture that our names can be written in the book of life. And when we accept Christ, our names are written there and they remain there until we finally decide that we no longer want them there. So, Heavenly Father, we ask you this morning for the grace that is needed to allow you to keep our name in your book of life. And we ask you to remember us when you come. And we ask you to save us in your kingdom, not because of our goodness, but because of the goodness that is found in your name. Amen.